According to the fullness of times, of the word, the testimony, the covenants and the cleansings, God has given his servants and prophets meals to serve his people, that darkness in men might be destroyed. Behold, the Lord's table is laden with meals to build a generation of overcomers. From this table comes the ministration of grace from God's servant. Listen and be blessed.
Lord, help me. I trust you. I depend on you. I just ask that you will give me utterance. Help me to speak. Strengthen my body. Lord, take hold of my spirit, soul, and body and use it. Thank you, Father. Thank you again. I come under you, O God. Come under the grace that is upon the house. Come under the anointing that is upon the house. Help me to align, I pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for help tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. While Pastor was preaching, because normally what I do is I wait in my spirit, just trying to see. My intention is to just keep on along the line that our daddy taught this morning. And that was, he came and heaved it up. What I was teaching, he heaved it up. I myself was blessed. And I was just flowing by the spirit. But as he was teaching, I was not able to see clearly some of the things that I was trying to say. You know, he said them more perfectly, you know, and you said them more perfectly, sir. And at the end of the day, you landed it in a place where it was so beautiful. And I just feel I maybe just cue in from there. But while listening to Pastor, this scripture came into my heart. I think we might just start from there. That's 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5, talking about the faith that overcometh the world. I think I will use it to connect, because all of them is still talking about the world, how to overcome the world. Amen. Now, that's 1 John chapter 5 from verse 1. It says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Amen. You know, you say something, sir, that the new birth or the being born again is not just once. They persecuted us for it. And I just, like I always say, it's just because they've not taken time to study Bible to know exactly that time born again is not just something that is used for just the beginning of your faith, which is the new birth that has to, that affected your spirit, but that your soul has to go through the process of many births. Another word for birth is baptism. That's another word for birth is baptism. And you know, in the book of Hebrews chapter 6, he called it doctrine of baptisms. It's not once, doctrine of baptisms. So showing that it is not just one baptism. So it also means that it's not just one. When it comes to that thing that happened to your spirit, when it's translated into your soul, or when it's being referred to in your soul, then it has, it becomes a process of birth that has to. So every entrance we make has to go with birth. Every entrance that heaven gives to us is as a result of birth. Even naturally, you can't come into this space without being born naturally. Amen. Amen. You know why spirits are always wanting, especially their master, the devil, is always wanting man? How many of us know that? He wants to use man. He wants to use man. And his desire has been to raise. He doesn't like possessing. Many don't know. His best operation is not to possess. You might think that his best operation is to possess a man. You know, when he possesses a man, when you see somebody who is possessed, he's not fully in control when he possesses a man. It's a different operation. He's limited in possession because he can't take everything that is in that man. But when he is able to dwell in man, not by possession, but by birth. So he can also born. So he knows how to give birth. When he gives birth, so when you look at the Antichrist, many antichrists, they are as a result of birth. That birth, when you see the spirit of the antichrist that is gone into the world, the reason for that is to birth people. It's for to birth people. And, you know, like I said, you just made reference to Obama. I personally, I'm not the only one that said it, but somewhere I've looked at him. You know, when he came in, everybody was... That was when I said there's something wrong. The whole world cannot just be rejoicing over a man. I said, if this man is being rejoiced over, it means that the generation that welcomed the Antichrist is not far. Because men will wonder at him. Men wonder at him because he had this oratory. He had this thing. But besides those things he was speaking, he had things. There was something on him to birth. To change times and seasons so he could birth. So in that season, a whole lot changed. A whole lot changed. Now, another word for birth is to drive or teach men perdition. So in the season of the Antichrist, you discover that men will go into perdition faster. Why? Because he has gotten a son. Whenever a son arrives, giving birth is easy. This is what I mean. Another word for giving birth is embodying, to embody. Amen. So when you see our Lord Jesus Christ, what he was doing was to embody God. No one has seen God at any time. No one has seen God at any time. But he came to not just to preach him, but to embody him. To embody him so that it will be easy for to birth. New birth wasn't possible before he came. Yes, sir. Did you get that? New birth or births in the spirit. We are not possible before he came. Our Father, who is, you know, Heavenly Father, you know, he could walk with men like Abraham, walk with men of old. He's able to walk with them and raise them to become living soul. But the issue of birth, because he has to take birthing to fully encapsulate. So when you look at this, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. When I look at John, basically his thesis, I look at his epistles of John particularly, even the gospel, epistles of John, the book of Revelation, we call it super epistle. But the book of Revelation was actually something he received. Are you understanding me? It was something he received for the church. But his epistles are understanding which the Lord gave to him for the church. Now, of course, we understand that for you to be able to understand the book of Revelation effectively, you need to also put it side by side with 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Amen. Praise God. Because the things to do, because why do you need to understand it? So that you'll walk. If the book of Revelation was there and there was no 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, you wouldn't know what to walk. You wouldn't know how to walk. You wouldn't know how to behave yourself in the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So how to behave yourself is how to walk. How to live. Amen. So those are the things that he was writing. So when you look at his epistles, I just see epistle of John as epistle for or written for those who are written to those who are in the warfare to overcome. Or who are in the season that God is raising overcomers. It's a season. And that season can happen to any church. Yes. That season happened to a church in the early, that's the early church. It was a season. Now, this epistle was one of the last epistles that we are reading. Yes, so it means that he waited until the church had come of an age. They've come of age. So God can begin to bring forth these things that are needed for to raise that kind of church. Hallelujah. Now, what I said is that it opens up, that this epistle opens up what I'll call the world of overcomers. So you can see everything that he's using there, his references, amen, because I'm saying that to say something here. Everything that he's referencing are things that has to do with everlasting, that which was from the beginning. You know, that's how he began it, which we have heard, which we have, and our hands have handled. Amen. Everlasting. So those we are, and the everlasting is talking about the living and the true. Like our daddy was saying, the living and the true. Those were the things that he was sparking. So even when he refers to faith that overcomes the world, he wasn't just talking about any kind of faith. Do you believe what I just said now? So even when people say faith is faith. No, faith isn't faith. Faith isn't faith. Amen. Because how you know faith is, what is the substance? What is the substance that faith procures? What is the substance that faith holds? Amen. Amen. Now, I know faith is faith in a sense. But when you come to the school of faith, you now understand that faith really is not there. You can't put all of them together. No, because they all have their substance. And then they also have their hope. So I will talk a little bit about the substance and the hope, because these two things, you need them to be able to, amen. You know the hope he was making reference to here in John. He that has this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. This is not faith, hope, charity. This is not faith, hope, charity. That's the hope that is in Christ, or the faith that is in Christ. What he's referring to here is referring to in this place is everlasting hope, if I'll call it that way. Everlasting hope. Everlasting faith. Amen. So to be born of God, I love that. You have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. You were saying it very beautifully. That's why I said you said it, put it so well that I even gained so much. That the Jesus that is the Christ, Son of God, not just the Son of the living God, not just Jesus, the Christ of charity. Now let me just talk a little bit about Christ. When the Christos is the word, Hebrew word, Messiah. Now the concept of Messiah is not alien to the Jews. Do you believe what I just said? Yes. They have Messiah. The Messiah means anointed one. I also want to believe that the concept of Messiah is not also alien to angels. Amen. Amen. Do you believe what I just said though? Yes. They have their own, they have their Christ. Yeah. If you know how they were formed, how they were fashioned by God, you can, when you look at angels like cherub, what you're seeing is a conglomerate of heavens. Amen. It's a coming together of heavens, the three heavens in one person. Of course, the highest heaven being their own place. But you find that there is none of those heavens that are under them that they cannot operate, because they have what it takes. What it takes to operate that, they have it inside of them. Yeah. Amen. But you know that the angels that are also within the domain of the Christos. Amen. Amen. So you call them sons. So in the realm of man, that's Adam, you call them, you know, Adam was the son. Adam was son of God. Now, afterwards, Adam was not just Christ. I hope I will not blaspheme before you. Adam was a living soul. Now, after the order of sonship amongst men, because you can't talk about sonship without Christ. So the issue of concept of Christ has been there. It has been there. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. So Adam had Christ inside, which, of course, he was the son, because he is referred to Adam, the son of God. Amen. Amen. I want to say that there is no son that will not have Christ. There's no son that will not have Christ. You must have Christ, basically, as you said, it's your hidden foundation. That has to be your hidden foundation. But there is still another foundation that is needed to be laid upon Christ, which is the foundation that is made sure. Amen. So the concept of Christ had been there. But the Christ we are referring to is the Christ that will show forth the very life of God. Christ means anointed one. The word Christ or Messiah, the anointed one. Meaning this is the one that has been appointed and anointed to be able to carry something of God. Did you get me? To be able to carry something of God. So what we saw our Lord Jesus Christ as his own Christ is different from Christ that has existed before. Amen. Because none of the Christ that has existed had been given the right of way. To which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. So this has to do with begotten. Are you understanding me? This has to do with begotten. Today, have I begotten them? So you can say that they are Christ that are not begotten of God, but they are Christ that are made of God. So they are Christ that are made of God, but they are also, but there is one Christ. God who at sundry times and in diverse manner spake to our fathers through the prophets. So those prophets were actually Christ. How do I know? Because the Spirit of Christ was in them. The Spirit of Christ that was in them. That's what Peter said. So if the Spirit of Christ, it wasn't just on them. It was in them. It was in them. It means that they embodied something. If it was upon them, we can say, okay, they were just anointed to preach or anointed to prophesy. But he said the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. Amen. So the Spirit of Christ in them is actually a Christ, not the Christ of God. This Spirit was to bear witness, just like you see every other, you know, the prophet bore witness to Christ. Amen. All the prophets, they were bearing witness to Christ. Why were they bearing witness to Christ? Because they have Christ in them. So Christ will speak of the Christ. How you know every Christ is that they will speak of the Christ. So anyone who calls himself Christ and is not speaking of the Christ, is not pointing to the Christ, is an antichrist. That is how we know the spirit that is of this world. Don't think that this world does not have Christ too. Let me put it this way. It's a concept. Now, so when you say, sir, that low thinking, low thought for a man to say that God cannot give birth, it's very low. God can do anything. If he can do anything, then it means he's not God. God has many ways. He's not limited to your way. Man is highly limited. Even your thinking, you now thinking that God cannot give birth. It's only you. He that made you give birth, is he giving birth that he cannot give birth? But he might not give birth the way you give birth. When it comes to giving birth, he has many ways. God, his ways are past finding out. You can't find him out. So when you want to limit him in your way, okay, God, he does not have a wife. God doesn't need wife to give birth. He doesn't need wife to give birth. Amen. 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 You know, the male and the female thing is actually originally from him. Yes. Amen. 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 I'm not saying that God is a hermaphrodite. But everything he created speaks of him. Everything he created speaks of him. They bear witness to him. So he's deeper than what we can understand. So when you say male or man that has womb, is womb man. Those are things that because everything he was making, he was looking at his archives. I was making a type of it. So when you see, and God, you know, one of the things I know that that aspect of God that is feminine, very tender. God guides it jealously. God guides it jealously. That's why you see how Jesus loved those women that we are following. You know, I just felt the reason why he didn't include them in the 12 was because he loved them specially. He loved them specially. He knew how to take care. It's only Christ, it's only our Lord Jesus that can teach a husband how to take care of wife. Yeah. If you don't learn it from him, you can't learn it from anybody. Yeah. He was so tender with them. The way he, you know, carried them, he can send the 12, you know. Go here, go there, do this, go this. But those women, oh no. And then you could just find that there was, just look at that woman, that Mary Magdalene. What kind of fellowship? That fellowship didn't exist between Jesus and Peter. Amen. I think the sisters will like me tonight. It didn't exist because when he was crucified, everybody left. It was the women not only stayed. Can we just bless God for our women? Amen. They didn't just stay. They had already prepared some ointment. Peter was not thinking like that. John didn't think we need to do something about the body. Body, 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 body. Amen. They didn't think we need to do something to preserve the body. Who was even the person who anointed him, preparing him for death? It was still a woman. And while he was anointing him, it was a man, one of the 12, that said, you're wasting this money. God will deliver us, men. Amen. Man, you're blessed. Amen. So sonship is not only for man, it's for... Amen. I'm encouraged that our sisters are encouraged. Amen. So I was talking about how that aspect of God, how tender it is. So tender. So you can see that the reason for that tenderness is for to birth. Because the womb is tender. When you hear the womb of the morning, is the feminine aspect of God that you're seeing. So there is no birthing without womb. So God has womb. It's called the womb of the morning. And things come out from there. So whatsoever is born of that womb. Kai. Amen. One time the Lord was telling me, he said, you need to understand the law of the womb. That's what every son that will overcome has to understand. You have to go back to the womb. One of the laws of the womb is that you have to learn to depend. Man had been taught to be independent. Is it not? Even our nation, you say you want to gain independence. Man, am I not? I want to be independent. I want to be independent. You know, I don't know how those things we are taught those things. We are actually not taught faith from the while we are growing. Well, they didn't teach us faith while we are growing. We are taught to be a man. Man up. Be a man. You know, those things, they are teachings that we don't know how much they damaged our soul. So I know somebody will say, okay, are you saying we should just be depending on others? No. Depend on. You know, there was a way Jesus depended. The Son can of himself. That's the law of the womb. He can of himself do nothing. It's what he hears the Father say, he will say. It's what he sees the Father do, he will do. It's the work that the Father is doing that the Father reveals to him that he will do. He will do nothing of himself. He does not initiate anything. He waits on the Father. Now, until we get to that point, the world will still be tackling us. The world wants you to be independent. Amen. I think some people are not getting me. Now, I know the leaders, you can get me, but I'm looking at the back there. That independence is something they taught the soul. That was what Satan actually brought as a bargain in Eden. You know, because God created Adam. Adam was meant to keep on depending on him. He was to keep depending on him and keep depending on him. You know, he has to depend on God to be able to get to that tree of life. But what Satan told him is that, look, you can get this thing done. This thing is taking too long. You can be independent. But that's what Jesus came to correct. Jesus came, you know, he was the last Adam. And he said, this is the life that Adam is actually supposed to live. You are actually meant to not do anything except what God is doing. May the Lord get us there. Amen. This is what I'm saying. Until we get there, the world will still be flowing us. You know what I mean? He still knows how to talk. This is what is simple. Being independent means actually coming out from being under God. Every son is under. Every son remains under. You have to, the son who is in the bosom, that's his position. He's always in the bosom of the Father. Even though you're seeing him walking, but he has a bosom. He has a place in the Father. Amen. Amen. Meaning, he is not one who operates on his own. Those are laws. Laws of the womb. Another law the Lord showed me, he said, you must learn how to hide. You must learn. That's the law of the womb. You must learn how to hide. It's not easy to hide. The world, it doesn't want you to hide. It wants you to vaunt. It wants you to show. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. It wants you to show something. It wants you to show, especially when you're gifted. You know, it's easy to hide when there is nothing. Like when there's no money, it's easy to hide, even from responsibilities. But when there's money, but I just know that some people that even though there's no money, they still don't hide. You know, because it's not just that he doesn't have money, he has been taught to vaunt. So even when there's nothing, he will vaunt emptiness. That I don't have money does not mean. Have you ever heard that word? That I don't have money does not mean. You can't control me with your money. You can't control me. Amen. Are we being blessed tonight? Yes. So back to what we are saying. We are talking about born of God. Amen. Yes. Let's go back to that place in 1 John so that I'll not stray too far. Amen. So, it's to believe that Jesus Christ is born of God. Remember, we are talking about being born. Because there is no overcoming without being born. All overcomers are at every point of overcoming, what you see is birth. Did you see that? So birth is like an entrance into a sphere. Overcome means to be proven better, more superior. I don't know if you understand me. You are better. So you have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. So you must understand that this Christ, like Daddy said, this Christ is the living Christ, the Son of the living God, and also the Son of the true God. I believe, sir, that believing to the Son of the true God is what would deliver incorruptibility to us. Amen. That is what you, so we have to finish that believing to the point where we believe that he is the Son of the true God. That's what we say, believing. It's not just something you sit down and say, do you believe? I believe. Do you believe that Jesus? I believe. Amen. Amen. Kai. God will help us to understand. You know what I'm saying? That what the things that John was writing here, if you look at it, you can just read it from the face value. But he's actually writing thesis for a church that will overcome. Or these things are written for us. Not just for us, for even to us. Because he knew that after the first church, I believe this first church raised a lot of overcomers. No doubt a man like John was an overcomer. A man like Timothy overcame. So we have them, many that has overcome. But they were also, they had to. The Spirit of God was source. I mean, the Lord had, you know, had us in mind that these things we are penned down so that we will have consolation. We will see that, okay, this is how we can also overcome. Can you say, I need to be born? So to be born is not a one-time thing. You need to be born. I love the way Peter put it, being born. So that being is a process. Amen. Being born again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God. Now you can see that liveth, that's the living, and abideth, which is true. Can you say amen?
Amen.
It liveth, and at the same time, it abideth. So believing that Jesus is the Christ here, is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and the Son of the true God, meaning I have to believe it to the point where I am born. I have to believe it to the point where I'm born. Now, when it's being preached to you, you are not yet born. You must understand it. When it's being preached to you, you are not yet born. Even when you grasp it, you are not yet born. Do you believe what I just said now? You know, now I understand. I understand what Daddy has been saying. It doesn't mean you're born yet. What you've just gotten the substance. You've just gotten the substance. But you see, to be born, you have to believing. This is what the Holy Ghost is showing me. That believing has with it a warfare, a contention around it. Can you He was talking to one of the church. He said, because you have, you kept the word of my patience. So his word, he was talking about here. You kept the word of my patience. I love that. First Peter, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed, by the word of God. So it's a word. The living and the true word. That's the seed of incorruptibility. So you receive it first of all as seed, but can you keep it in the days of contention? Because, see, that seed will bring contention. That seed will bring contention because that seed is being introduced on a ground that is hostile. How many of us know that our heart is hostile? Our heart was plowed by someone and sowed all kinds of things. Sowed tears, put stones, thorns, thistles. Even walked on it so much with leg that it hardened it. When you read that parable of Matthew 13, it wasn't talking about unbelievers, though. It's believers. It's a parable of the kingdom. So it means that all these hearts are already born again in their spirit. But what he was talking about here was heart. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. He wasn't talking about their spirit being born again. It was their heart. Where this seed has to fall. Where this seed has to be sown. Amen. Jesus is the... He has been carrying this seed. And he wants hearts where he will sow it. But you see, our hearts. I say our hearts. One thing the world does is that our heart, he fashions our heart. Hebrews said... He said, beware lest you be deceived, lest you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. It means your heart can be hardened. Exhort one another daily. You see, the reason why you come for meetings, the reason why you have to gather together, is so that they will keep plowing your heart. All of that is to prepare you for birthing. Oh, did you understand me? Now, if you... Recently, I was telling some of our brethren, I said, you see, one of the things I began to perceive in the spirit is that Satan is trying to carefully, and he's going to heighten it, fight the gathering of ourselves together. Physically. Physical meeting is not the same thing with online meeting. The Spirit of God can manage online meeting, but he demands physical meeting. Sometimes physical meeting is an obedience that you have to fulfill. Why did he demand from them that every male should appear in Jerusalem 3 times? And then when Rehoboam did what he did, that scene was made reference to throughout the book of 2 Kings, 3 Kings, Chronicles. They call it the scene of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. They made reference to it. What was it? Online. I'm sorry. Maybe you'll not like me for this. Because you know, somehow, sir, some of us have begun to get used to that online thing. Online thing. Some have gotten used to it. I was watching a minister on TV, you know, on YouTube. And I saw, he's a minister that is well known. I saw his church, you know, the space on the seat. Then you now check the view. A lot of people are at home. Did you understand what I just said now? Please, I'm not saying that online is a sin of Jeroboam. But I'm only saying that Satan... because we pray online too. We do it. But we must understand that gathering of ourselves together... You know, Holy Ghost had already seen it. He said, do not forsake, because there are some things that will make you forsake. Have you ever thought what made them to forsake the gathering of themselves together? It may have been laws that may have been propagated by the Roman Empire, or maybe some things, arrangements in the natural that will prohibit them from gathering together. Do you know that the church, you know, we didn't know that there was a revival that was going on in Iran. Serious revival, sir. Can I tell you something? What is happening in Iran? Whether you like it or not, whether you're Tala or whoever, the major reason, I used to tell people, read, find out what is in the heart of God concerning a matter. The reason for what is going on in Iran is because of the church. That church have been praying. They've been praying. They've been there, persecuted. They've been praying. And then other churches, you know, have also started praying for them. And the Lord is saying, you need to understand, he said he's going to do the same thing to North Korea. Yeah. He said he's going to do the same thing to China. He said, you can't keep my bride. You can't keep my bride. I have people there. They have to be free. But can I tell you the strength of those places? Even in the midst of that law, martial law against Christianity, they still gather. I was telling somebody, I said, if in Nigeria today we have a martial law that we should not meet, I'm sure a whole lot of people will not go to church. But we have to gather. Tell somebody we have to gather. Amen. Exalt one another daily. In fact, we are not even doing it well. We are gathering daily. There was no phone then, so you can't tell me they were exalting one another. Ring, ring, ring. You pick. Sister Esther, I exalt you. For exaltation to take place, we need to gather. Can you say gather? We will gather. I also know that there's coming a time of persecution. I have seen it over Nigeria, the church in Nigeria. There is nothing everlasting that is crude. Everything everlasting is new. And it will outlast whatever this world brings. When you're seeing it, it has ability to outlast whatever the world will bring, whatever the world will throw. Wisdom of God, wisdom of God, wisdom of God. So exalt one another daily. So it means that this church was gathering daily. Because they didn't have online meeting. They were gathering daily. Why it is called today? That today was when God was showing up in their midst in a unique way. There are days that can happen to a church. Understand me. There are days. God, in the realm of the spirit, there are days. There's a day that God can introduce. God has days. You know, there's a day of refreshing. Amen. So when he introduces a day, he wants us to gather to that day. There's a reason for gathering to that day. Gathering to that day is gathering in his name, which is being revealed, because he's in the midst of the church, in the midst of the brethren. That's actually where birthing takes place. That's where birthing takes place. The reason why they gather, birth. They want to burn someone. Now, do you believe what I just said now? I will show you from the scripture. In the book of Job, when the sons of God gathered, what do you think that was about to happen? They're about to burn Job. Oh. When the sons of God gathered to present themselves, they were about to birth someone into that realm. And they did. So all that thing he was going through was birthing process. It was birth pang. Oh, I'm telling you something that I know. It was birth pang. It was not easy, but birth pang. It was still in the midst. All the sons were observing what was happening. They were observing what was happening until Job was born. So the reason for gathering is, we might not understand. We might just do, okay, the reason they want us to gather is so that there will not be empty chairs. Our gathering is very important too. So I was saying, I said, I have seen persecution coming to the church in Nigeria. I dare to say, and I'm not making myself anything, but these are some of the things the Lord has shown me. You know, I've tried to share it, you know, to our elders. You know, I've seen it, and I'm seeing that what we see Trump doing, he will do it for a while, but it won't last. It's just to push some things back so that some people can arrive at a place. Because I believe the day of birthing, some should have arrived to. He said, will I bring you to birth and I will not give strength? So there's a strength that must come to the church. The reason why the Lord will push it back is that we don't yet have enough strength to come to that day of birthing. And it's near. It's very, very near. And that time, it will not just be Nigeria alone. It will be many, many places. Many places. Churches in different nations, in different localities. Why? They want to birth. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Are you excited about this? Sorry, I strayed into this. Let's go back to the thoughts. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me just quickly, because of time, run down to 4, where I was going to. For whatsoever is born of God. Whatsoever. Now there are two things they use here. What and who. There's a place that says whosoever is born of God. But here they say whatsoever is born of God. So he's defining the content before the person. Did you get that? He's defining the content. That this thing, the content you have. You see this seed. A process can be this. I mean a process can be whatsoever. Do you believe me?
Yes.
A process can be whatsoever. Like I said, God has ways of doing it. He has many ways of doing it. So whatsoever is born of God. I used to remember one of those days where I was preaching. I said, anything that is born of God. I said, if this flax is born of God, it will overcome the world.
Yeah.
And truly it is. Truly, but not in that sense, because there's no. It can't be what. This is not the what in the context of what is being said. It's talking about something. Things. So things that God generates. Things that God generates. How? Things that are generated by God are His. You know when I say generate, are His seed. His seed is what? Is that seed he will now use to begat us? Amen. Did you get that? So without that seed, there is no begotten. So first of all, they introduce this seed here. Amen. It overcomes the world. Why? It is, that seed is higher than what the world can decode.
Yeah.
We are just teaching it very well today, sir. It shineth that light. He called it light. He's the father of light. The living and the true light. That's what I'm referring to as seed. The living and the true light. He's the father of it. Those lights are what? That's what God uses to begat. You see, those lights cannot be overcome by the world. Because the light shineth in the world. And the world cannot decode it. It doesn't understand what kind of thing is this. Oh, God. You are blessed, though. I think our generation is blessed. Because these things are things that have been archived. But are now being, you know, being brought up by the Spirit.
Amen.
So there's going to be plenty born.
Amen.
Born.
Amen.
Born. Because without being born, you can't overcome. There's no being born. You can't overcome. It's not possible. So when you're seeing that faith, I love this. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even. So you can see that word. Our faith. So when that faith finds its way into the heart of a man, and that man can keep it, then you can be saying, you've kept the word of my patience. That's what I was saying, that there's a warfare. You have to keep the word of my patience, because you will have to. They won't just give birth to you because you heard it. Can you keep it? Can you keep it against the contradictions of that faith? If you can keep it, meaning keep the substance, keep the word, keep the seed. Because the adversary, what he wants you to do is to lose the seed. You know how you can lose the seed? Harden your heart. That's why I said deceitfulness of sin will harden your heart by the deceitfulness of sin. Now, the deceitfulness of sin there doesn't mean you go and commit fornication. I don't think anybody will be hearing this to this level and will still, if you're hearing to this level and you're still, fornication is your problem, I'm sorry, you have to go back to young believers class. Because what they are talking about here, when they say deceitfulness of sin that can harden the heart, is actually what the world brings as opposition to the seed. The world has his own seed. That's why I said he loves his own. The world loves his own. But us, he hates. You know why he hates us? Because we are the keepers of the seed. Now, if you keep this seed, the world will hate you. If you're a keeper of this seed, the world will hate you. He said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And the reason why it hated me before it hated you is because I am the sower. I am not. He said, if you were of the world would love you, his own. What is his own? His own whatsoever. His own seed. Like you said, the world has its own faith. Amen. Amen. You know, before a man can be introduced to the world, just the same way the father had to wait before he introduced the son to the world. It's not everybody, I'm talking about even as unbelievers, that have been introduced to this world. No. Before him, the God of this world will introduce you to this world, you must have made some covenants. Oh, you don't know. This world is, when he introduces you, his intention of introducing you to this world, he has an intention, is to give birth to you. That's the intention. Well, by the time he's introducing you to this world, you see that temptation? It was, he thought, I can birth Jesus. I can birth him. You know, that was what he did to Adam now. That's what he did. He birthed Adam. He just opened him up to another world. Because you're born into something else. So you have to be born again. So the reason for opening you up to the world is to birth you. So it's not everywhere. But I know there are men on earth that have been born. I'm not talking about believers now. I'm talking about unbelievers that have been born of this world. Amen. Amen. No, you can't make profit from this world. What you're just eating is that you're going to work, you're working, you're making ends meet. Ends will meet. He doesn't have a problem with that. You can be meeting the end, just be connecting the board. When you now want to, okay, breadwinner, but now you now want to be breadwinner. Not breadwinner's husband, though. There's a point you get to in this world that it will introduce you to this world. So I saw some things that made me afraid, sir. And I say, God, help us. Why did you saddle us with this kind of leadership in this nation? Because I see a leadership that is... We're looking at some of the things they are doing in the natural embezzlement of money. No, but I'm seeing a leadership that is going to be one of the... The Lord showed it to me. I wrote it down. Going to be one of the 10 horns. He wants to be a power broker. He wants to be a power broker globally. Exactly how you understood it. That was what the Lord showed me. He wants to be the horn of Africa. To sit with those globalists. Because those are the places they've been dining. So somebody say, but he's rich. What is he? It's not money. Forget it. It's not money. It's not money. He's not looking for money. He wants to be a power broker. So when you talk about Africa, you know who to meet. And it's Satan that Satan can give that seat, but he won't give that seat to somebody he has not born. So that's the reason. So before you can get to that point where he will give birth to you, where he will give you his seat, give you even the one of the 10 horns. You see those horns? They are seats. When you begin to see horns, they are seats in the spirit. They are not just seats in the physical. They are not seats. The person can be a president of nation. He can be president of whatever. But that's not the major. For you to be a horn in the head of the dragon, means he can carry you. He has borne you now. It means you have grown out of him. Amen. Let's leave there. So whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. Are you seeing the things we have to? We have to overcome these 10 horns. Essentially in the spirit. Meaning we have to understand the wisdom. We understand what, their peaks. But our faith. Can you say our faith? Our faith. I love that. Our faith. Our faith might look colloquial. It might look not trendy. It might not look... God doesn't like those sophistication. It's this world that wants to sophisticate. Truth is truth. Yes. Truth does not need help. Yes. I don't know if you're following what I'm saying. And you can do nothing against the truth. Truth is there. Truth is there. Truth doesn't need embellishment. Truth is not cosmos. Truth is not this world. This world is called cosmos. Cosmetics. It's an embellishment. Truth doesn't need embellishment. Truth is truth. Are you following me, brethren? So that's the word, truth. Amen. Back to that. What I'm trying to show you is that the Lord wants to birth. It's a season of giving birth. Amen. And he will bring many sons unto glory. Unto glory. Like I was saying this morning, not when you die, not during rapture. Sons will come into glory in the days of their flesh. Celebrate this. Celebrate it. Celebrate it, because we need to celebrate what the Lord is showing us. Amen. Thank you. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So this faith is a faith that wherever it appears, is an overcoming faith. It's an overcoming faith. Then he now said, who is he that overcometh the world? So first of all, what then he? Did you get that? Yes. What then he? First of all, seed. Then person. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That is, he has finished both the living and the true God. Finished the holding to the word of, whenever you see faith, there's patience beside it. Let us follow them who through faith and patience. How we know the strength of your faith is the patience. I know your patience. That's what Jesus was saying. I know your work, your patience. Your patience in tribulation. Let us follow them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. So faith, you always have patience. Faith will work out patience. Faith will always, when I say patience is faith processed. That's where I put it. Patience, when you see patience, is faith that has been processed. Meaning it has held it over time and that has gone through the process. You know, in the book of Revelation, it said, I, John, your brother, in what? In kingdom and what? Patience. Are you seeing it? Patience. So it means that faith had been processed to be reckoned for entrance into kingdom. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You call the patience of Jesus Christ. Patience of Jesus Christ. Patience of Jesus Christ. Patience of Jesus Christ. It's the faith of Jesus Christ that produced the patience of Jesus Christ. Is the faith of Jesus Christ that produced the patience of Jesus Christ. And every son has to possess that patience of Jesus Christ. This is, you are saying, the world hates it. Satan hates it. Hates it. He doesn't like, how can people be hearing this kind of thing? And then you might be hearing tonight to say, these people, they just like wasting your time. Look at how they'll go here, they'll go there, they ramble with words. They should just make things simple. I love simple Christianity. I've heard people say that I want simple Christianity. Simple Christianity. that person who wants simple Christianity does not want to overcome. He's a lazy Christian. He doesn't want warfare. Because when you hear these things, everything you're hearing tonight, there's a warfare. There's a contention. And that contention is needful. It's needful because that is what will bring about. That contention is actually the birth process that is attached to that seed. And that is why he was exalting, don't forsake the gathering of yourselves together. Exalt one another. Encourage one another. Encourage one another. Why? Because that season of warfare to hold the seed to the end where you will be born has come upon us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. And he said, this is he that came by water and by blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by blood, by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So he came by water and by blood. First of all, water, then blood. Not blood and water. Is water and blood. The flesh, John chapter 6, 51. Yeah. I am the living bread, amen, which came down from heaven. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, so this bread, this is, now everything you see here as bread, you have bread of life, the bread of God, the living bread. All of these, all this bread you see here, are the bread of the Son of God. It's not Christ. How many of you believe what I just said now? Everything here is bread that they will serve. So you eat bread and bread and bread. I told them somewhere, I said, it's actually by eating we will overcome. We have to eat. You know, like the high priest has to eat. What is, you know, this? They have a portion in the temple. They have to finish it. It signifies something. We have to finish eating the Son of God. I love that place in the book of Psalm 23. Do you know Psalm 23 is food, 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 food? The last one was table, table, in the presence of my enemies. That enemy, that's a dragon. So we have to eat. The other time we ate lying down by the green pasture. But when you begin to eat the bread that will overcome the enemy, it has to be. I believe that that psalm was a psalm referring to the man-child company. That's Psalm 23. Especially Psalm 23, 24, 25. They are unique. Amen. It's a psalm that was referring to man-child company. They ate and ate and ate. So you have to eat all of this bread. Eating the bread, also there's water to it. Because he will bless your bread and your water. Amen. He will bless your bread and your water. So you can't eat bread alone. Whenever you see bread, there's water there. But it's not blood. Blood is different. So with bread will come water. So the reason for bread is to raise us. Now give me back that. He said, I'm the bread of life which came down from heaven. If a man eats of this bread, he shall live forever. So the bread, you call it living bread, will make a man live forever. He said, and the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So there's an exchange there. So there's a life. You know, I told you in the morning that, see, there are two lives we have. One is flesh. One is blood that can't inherit. But we need another flesh and another blood. That is what the Son of God has come to serve us. So his flesh is what he will give you as an exchange. That's why I said, he that keepeth his life will lose it. But he that loses his life, meaning you're willing to exchange it, will gain it. Meaning I'm going to give him something superior. That's the process of birthing. I'm going to give him something superior. I mean, I will give him my flesh. He will eat my flesh. In there, can you say in eating? You're actually eating him. You can't embody him if you've not eaten him. He said, as the Father sent me, and I live by him. So he, in this same chapter 6, so he that eats, as the living Father, the living Father has sent me. How did he send me? The same way I'm sending you. How am I sending you? You eat. So he means he ate the Father. He ate the living Father. He finished it. Oh God. Jesus ate the Father. So the Father gave him himself and he ate. He gave him the living Father and he finished it and he lived by the Father. Can you say he lived?
He lived.
So we also have to live by him. How? By eating him. What the Lord showed me is that we on our own can't eat the Father. We can only eat the Son. You don't have what it takes to eat the Father. You will bust. You will cease to exist. You don't have the capacity to eat the Father. But the Son can consume the Father and still remain. So the Son now will now give you himself to eat. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So when the Son ate the Father, the Father was dwelling in him. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So without eating the Father, there is no work. So the work you're seeing is the Father that is dwelling in me. How did I arrive there? I ate him. You know what I'm describing? That's another way of saying being born. Because you need to understand all these terminologies so that you're not just, okay, born again, born again. What are they saying? No, eat him. Eat him. Eat him. You know, when they give you in covenant making, you eat something. That thing you eat is an initiation. It's also a baptism. It's also a birth. Because you eat it, you are, it's like you're introducing to another world that you are not used to before. Or you admitted to something you are not used to before. So you are born. So we are also being born by eating. So the patient says, can you be patient and eat him in the presence of your enemy? You know, we've thought that, okay, in the presence of our enemy means that the enemy will keep quiet and be watching us eat. No, he wants to distract. There's a lot of distraction. That season is a season of distraction. We're talking about it, sir. It's a season of distraction. He will come with all manner of distraction, all kinds of distraction, but you have to focus. There's something to eat. Imagine they give you, what's your best food, sir? Sorry, I'm asking. You don't have best food. You're like me, I don't have best food. That's the problem I have. But who is somebody? You have best food. Assuming your best food is pizza. Okay. Now I'm touching the young people, you know. Maybe pounded yam. With good okra. There's this Ondo okra that I like eating. Elasekpo. That soup, they touch my soul. Somebody made it for me in Lagos. As I was eating it, my heart was blessing her. So imagine if we pounded yam. And then, you know, that kind of food, you want to relax. There are some food they want to give me at home. Maybe I have some people who came for counseling, and it's a time I'm going to eat. I'll tell them, I say, keep it. Let me finish the counseling. Because this kind of food, you need to cool down and eat it. Sometimes there's a food they'll prepare. After preparing it, and then, you know, you maybe there's a call. You need to go and visit somebody, or somebody, something is happening. You need to go and attend to it. And then you feel like rushing the food. No, you say, just keep it. Just give me something else to chew. Because I need to, when I come back, I want to relax. We just sit down and eat it and then relax. Isn't that how you want to eat the food? But the food they want to serve us. Are you hearing what I'm saying? For the final birthing will be with much contradictions. Amen. I'll just go on with it because I understood what he was saying. We were talking about the food. The food is actually oats. Not oats you eat, oats. Because that's the final meal he will give you. Eat oats. You will eat oats. By the time you eat it, he has sworn to you. And he will not turn back. He can't turn back. Today have I sworn. Thou art a priest forever. After the order of Melchizedek, you've been born. When he swears to you, you've been born. You know, oath is the end of all strife. So all the strife that has been going on is so that you will not eat oats. But if you can manage in the midst of those contradictions, all those strife, and you're able to eat oats, concentrate, eat oats, finish oats, strife finishes. Satan will. There's nothing I can do again. I say you will get there. I said, we will get to, because that's the kind of overcomers that God is looking for. We'll get to the point where he will not. You know when Job overcame? When he came the first time to make requests for Job, they allowed him. He came the second time, made requests, they allowed him. He left from there. He didn't come back. He was ashamed to come back. That's how he will be ashamed to come back. I said he will be ashamed because of you. He will be ashamed. You know why he will be ashamed? Because you are not ashamed of the Son of God and what the Son of God stands for. Meaning you're able to eat him to the end. In the midst of contradictions, then You have been fully born. You are, can be said, you are an overcomer. Strife ceases. We have pictures of it in the scripture. When Abraham finished at the Mount of Moriah, strife ceased. All strife ceased. He inherited something. He brought something down. I said, the time is coming, not too long from now, Satan will give up on you. Amen. One thing these spirits don't like, they don't like people who can, you know, wait, long suffering, patience, with joyfulness. Ah! My brother, these things are not easy, oh. They are not, I will not tell you that they are easy. Those are not easy curriculum. That you are patient, then with joyfulness, meaning rejoicing in it. Because the reason why he doesn't want, he wants you to be moody. He wants you to be discouraged. He will just tell God, see the person you said you want to give birth to. But you see, in a man who is rejoicing in the midst of contradictions, he's seeing an opening. He's seeing that the birth canal is opening for him. So he's rejoicing in the midst of contradiction. He knows that this one, after he comes out, I can do nothing. When the man child came out, you know, he was standing before wanting to devour. But when the man child eventually showed up, he was paralyzed. I say he will be paralyzed. Amen. He will be paralyzed because of you. Because what will be born will be untouchable. Amen. What will be born will be incorruptible. Amen. What will be born will be something that he will not know how to handle. His wisdom suddenly failed him when he saw the man child. Ah! And immediately heaven said, this is my own. He just ascended and sat on the throne. And then war broke out. That will happen. We are in that season. That's why I said, this topic is not, heaven is declaring something that has to happen. Heaven is declaring something that will soon be done. And I'm glad I'm one of the people in that company. I'm glad to be counted in that company. I said we will overcome. I said we will overcome. I said we will overcome. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Can we just give God thanks? Let's give him praise. Thank you,
Jesus. We believe you have been fed by this inspiring ministration from God's servant. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our special meetings? You can join us every Wednesday for the special teaching series by 6 p.m. or on Sundays by 8 a.m. online or on-site at Eternal Life Embassy Assembly around you. For inquiries, call 0704-921-2074 or 0703-395-8818 or visit www.fmeli.org. Remain blessed.